Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Ayin Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Dalad Amud Aleph, the top line, Yosser of Yosef. At the end of the previous shir, we had discussed the case of Avraham Adoldol, where there's a dangling limb from an animal, and what is its halacha, both in terms of being allowed to eat it, and what type of tumah does it carry. Says the Gemara, Yosser of Yosef Kameder of Huna, Yosef Kamar. Amr of Yehuda Maraf, Achlo was a, if somebody eats this Avraham Dodol, Loika. It's Osim Ederaisa. Amlai Hum Rabbanim. So there was one of the Rabbanim sitting there, and he said, Loita Tusalei. Don't pay attention to what has just been said. Fahachi Amr of Yitzchak Bashmu Barmas Mishmei Derav. If somebody eats the Avraham Adoldol, ain't a loika. He doesn't get Malkus. Omle Rafunas. Rafuna now said, Anan Aman Nismach, what should we do? Ahadrina Yosef Lape, so Rabbi Yosef turned around, and Omle, and he said, My Kasha, there's no issue here. For Ki Amra Ano, when did I say that the Avraham Adoldol is also to be eaten, Midaraisa, Bemisa, Daisa Nipo. If the animal was killed, that means we have an animal that has an Avraham Adoldol, and that animal was killed. So to follow up on a concept we discussed in our previous year, Misa Daisa Nipo, and it creates as if the Aver was disconnected from the animal before it died, and therefore it's Aver Menachai. Ki Amar Ihu, but when he said that it is not Osim Midaraisa, it's Vishchita, it's only a situation where the animal was slaughtered, the Shchita Ein Osim Nipo. That Shchita doesn't create a situation that the animal is considered separated. So, I saw that the Mefarshim attempt to explain why indeed is there a difference between where the animal was killed and you have this Avraham Adoldol that the Aver may not be eaten versus when the animal was slaughtered that we're learning now Shechita Ein Osim Nipo and the Aver is not Osim Midaraisa. And the Mefarshim give a very nice explanation. They say that let's think about it. If we're going to say, and that's clear, that death is what determines the status of this Aver, where we will end up saying is that Shechita, which we know throughout Halacha, is an act that creates Heter, will here have created Isser. And it can't be that a Shechita, whose entire purpose always, as we're learning Masechta Chulin, is to create Heter, should create Isser. And that's why Shechita Eino Isser Nipo, Misa Isser Nipo. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, so Rava comments, Menoha Milstam Rabbanan, from where indeed does this distinction come, that there's a difference between Shechita and Misa, what it does to the Avraham Adoldol. And it's important to point out, as the Rishonim point out, that as we're learning, the Avraham Adoldol you can never eat. The only question is, what tumah does the Avraham Adoldol have? Does it have a tumas Avraham Menachai, if you say Misa Oysa Nipol? And when we say Shechita Ein Oysa Nipol, it has tumas Nevela. It has tumas, what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is a very important nafkamina, number of nafkaminas. One is, the halacha is that when you give hasra before a person does an avera, you have to know which avera he's transgressing. Another nafkamina is, as we discussed at the end of the previous shir, eva merachai a goy may not eat, nevel a goy may eat. Another nafkamina, so could you serve or sell this meat to a goy? Another nafkamina, we mentioned this in our previous year as well, is that Eva Merachai doesn't only involve meat. the Gidim and Atzamos could be included when we speak about a Kazayas. When we speak about Nevela, it has to be Basar, it has to be meat. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Ravam Noham Musad Amar Rabbanan, from where do we have, what is the basis for what Chazal taught us, as we learned, Misa Oysa Nibol, Shchita Ein Oysa Nibol, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says regarding Shrotzim, the Pasuk says regarding the Shemana Shrotzim that we know are Metamei, so the Pasuk says, V'kol HaShiip Alem Mehem B'moysam Yitma, that anything that comes in contact with these Shemana Shrotzim becomes Tamei. Ask the Gemara, why does the Pasuk say B'moysam? Lemute Mai. What is the Torah trying to teach us here? Ilema B'b'chayeyem. If the point of the Pasuk here is to teach us that the Shemana Shrotzim are not Metama as long as they're alive, we don't need the word B'moysam to teach us that. The Pasuk is teaching us, the Torah already says that it has to be specifically Minavlosam after they're dead. Alashmamina. The Pasuk is teaching us that Misa Oysenipel. Ven Shchit Oysenipel. B'moysam. There's a difference between when the Avraham Adudl is from an animal that was killed versus when the Avraham Adudl is from an animal that was slaughtered. Ask the Gemara, very difficult to understand. We're learning, that pasuk is teaching us about Hilchos Shrotzim. How are we saying that that pasuk, which speaks about Hilchos Shrotzim, is teaching us a halacha regarding an animal, Avraham Adudl? Answers the Gemara, as we have many times in Shas. If the pasuk has nothing to teach us regarding Hilchos Shrotzim, Tanei Inyan Lebehema. It comes to teach us a halacha regarding animals. Ask the Gemara, but still, obviously, we would prefer to say that the pasuk is teaching us a halacha that pertains to shrotzim versus a pasuk that teaches us a halacha regarding nevela, regarding animals, and we do know that this pasuk comes to teach us, came misa, that in order for sheretz to give off tumah, it has to be like it looks when it dies. Lachim, and therefore if it's still moist, metamim, do they give off tuma? But yuveshim, but once they're dried out, ametamim. So the question of the Gemara is, we need the b'moysim to teach us hilchos shrotzim, not hilchos regarding animal. And it's interesting to point out that even though the Gemara is teaching us that the shemayna shrotzim are only metama when they're still moist, the definition of moisture is not only when they're physically moist, but if they're still able to be reconstituted, that means if they would be put into water, they could gain back their moisture, it's still considered moist. They're only considered dry when they're dry to the point that they can never be reconstituted. So back to Al Gemara. How can we learn this thing from this pasuk? Don't we learn that thing? Answers the Gemara, treb and maisik sivi. The Torah says two times the word maisam. Says the Gemara, we've had a machloikis in our Mishnah regarding an aver of an uber that stuck out its hand or its leg prior to the uber is in the womb of its mother, and prior to the shechit of the mother, the aver stuck out its hand. We had a very fundamental machloikis in our Mishnah. What is the status of that aver? Rameyah said it's considered Eva Menachai. Rab Chum said it's considered Treifa. But, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Machloikis, the Machloikis that we had in our Mishnah was the Eva de Uber Chai. The Eva of a live Uber. Avil be Eva de Uber Mace. If an Uber Mace stuck out its Eva, says Rav Chisda, everybody will agree everybody will be in agreement that Shechita Oysenipol, everybody will agree that it's only considered that Shechita creates a situation of Nipol, and it's considered an Eva Menachai. Rav Amar, K'machlokes B'zeh, K'ach Machlokes B'zeh. The same machlokes we have by Uber Chai, we have by an Uber Meis. And it's important to try to understand this Gemara. The Mefarshim point out, to understand the opinion of Rabba, it's very understandable. Because we learned in the previous shiurim, that we know, we go back to the beginning of our perek, an aver that comes out of the uber before the shechita of the mother will not be effective for that aver, and therefore we learned yesterday, so what is that? Where does that aver left? Does the shechita have anything to do with that aver? Remeir holds it doesn't, and therefore the aver remains aver menachai. The Rabbanan disagree, and they say that even though everybody agrees, as we learned at the beginning of this parak, that you're not going to be allowed to eat that aver, that so much it accomplishes, just like we discussed, and we'll discuss this in a moment again, Mitzvah Shem, that just like the shechit of a treifa doesn't accomplish that you should be able to eat the treifa, it accomplishes that it shouldn't be metama, the same thing here. So therefore we can understand the opinion, because let's remember something, and we'll discuss this later in the shiur again. The halacha ben pekur doesn't make a difference if the animal is alive or dead. Whether the animal is alive or dead, the halacha ben pekur applies. So since the halacha ben pekur applies equally, their opinions will be the same by this ben pekur, whether it's alive or dead, and the aver that emerged from the womb. But we need to understand, as the achrayim, the first opinion, of Chizda's opinion, that differentiates between the aver of a live uber and the aver of a dead uber. What's the basis to make a differentiation? So Mefarshim say a very beautiful pshat. And it goes back to a fundamental question that we've discussed and will continue discussing when we speak about the halacha ben pekur, which is the primary subject of our perek. We mentioned that the achrayim need to try to understand what is the heter of ben pekur. Is it that the shechita of the mother makes that the child is also considered geshachten, slaughtered? Or is there a special din that the shechita of the mother, that the ben pekur, even though we've learned from when we're little children, that in order to be able to eat meat, you have to slaughter it. Ben pekur is an exception to rule. Slaughter is not required. So I saw Mefarshim say an interesting pshat. You know what? It could be both are right. And there's a difference, as I said a moment ago, the halacha is that a ben pekur that's found in its mother's womb, it doesn't make a difference if it's alive or dead. You're allowed to eat the ben pekur. But it could be the lumdus of why you're allowed to eat the ben pekur of a live, why you're allowed to eat a ben pekur that's live, and why you're allowed to eat a ben pekur that's dead is a different lumdus. And let's understand it. The ben pekur that's live, and this is a beautiful pshat, the ben pekur that's alive, you know why you're allowed to eat it? Because the shechit of the mother works for the child as well. But it only worked for the part that was inside the animal. The part that was outside the animal is an Eva Menachai. And therefore, Remeir says it's an Eva Menachai. When we speak about the ben pekur that's dead, we can't say that the shechit of the mother is effective for a dead animal. It's dead. It was dead before the shechit took place. Why may that ben pekur be eaten? Because the Torah was mechadish that ben pekur doesn't need shechita. If that ben pekur doesn't need shechita, it could be effective even for the part that's sticking out. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, ben Shmuel Chai. We need to review what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a debate between Ramei and the Chachamim that we just referred to a moment ago. Where the Chacham said that the shechita of the mother does accomplish that much, that the aver that stuck out before the shechita should not be considered aver menachai, not be considered nevela, should only be considered treifa. And Remeir says no. And Rabbanan said, we have this concept in many places. We have this concept in many places, say the Rabbanan, that even though the shechita doesn't allow you to eat the meat, it does accomplish something. Where? By a treifa. That's what the Rabbanan said to Remeir. Remeir responded to the Rabbanan. Remeir responded to the Rabbanan that by a treifa, it is on the animal itself that the shechita helps. Here it's helping on something else. Then the Gemara continued that shechita of a treifa helps, because asked the following question. If we see that shechita of an animal that can't be eaten is effective, why isn't the shechita of a non-kosher animal also effective? To which the Rabbanan replied, there's a big nafkamina. The shechita of a trefa is coming from an animal that maybe this specific animal you may not eat, but other animals from this family you could eat. Whereas a non-kosher animal, you can't eat any animals from that family. That was the dialogue of our Mishnah. Taf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. But then, the end of the Mishnah stated another halacha. The end of the Mishnah stated a halacha. Again, we always preface by saying, in the times of Chazal, an animal or a baby that was carried only to 8 months could not survive. And the halacha is that if you shecht a ben shmoina, even an animal that was born to 8 months, and you shecht it, it's not considered soyna bakar, it's not considered a kosher animal. And the shechita is not an effective shechita. That's the last statement of the Mishnah. Now we're going to bring it all together. Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach. The Braisa that Gemara is quoting picks up where the Mishnah left off. Meaning, I just said that the Mishnah discussed why shechita on a trefa is somewhat effective, that we've learned many times that at least it's matar, and the shechita on a non-kosher animal is totally ineffective. And the Mishnah remained with a distinction because a trefa animal comes from a kosher species, a non-kosher animal is a non-kosher species. Starts the Braisa. The Braisa uses this last halacha that we just stated from our Mishnah to continue the argument. And what was the continuation of the argument? Ben Shmoina Chayachiyach. I'll bring you a raya, says the Braisa, that the fact that it comes from a kosher species or a non-kosher species is irrelevant. Sha'af b'shiyesh b'mino shechita. Let's think, what did I just say? What did the Mishnah say? That if you shecht a ben Shmoina Chay, will the shechita be a valid shechita? Absolutely not. Why? It was saying that as long as it comes from a kosher species, it's good enough, it should be work. Ben Shmoina Chay Yechiyach, Sha'af b'shiyesh b'mino shechita, it comes from a kosher species, and shechita soy, metarasoy. So you see that doesn't help. Now, when does Ben Shmoina, so what would be all of your arguments? What would all of you be thinking? All you'd be thinking is that this logic is flawed. Because the trefa is an animal that the other animal you could do shechita on. There is no ben shmoina that you could do shechita on. So ben shmoina should maybe be considered like a non-kosher animal. And that's actually the way we explained ben shmoina when we learned the Mishnah. So Rav Kahana says that is a flawed argument. Because what is the basis of the argument? Yesh b'mino shechita agav imay. Because to say that you can never eat a ben shmoina is an incorrect statement. I'll give you a statement, the time when you can eat it. When's the time you can eat it? If an animal is carrying a ben pekua, and you shech the mother, and the child inside is eight months, it's a ben pekua, you'll be allowed to eat it. So to make a statement that a ben shmoina can never be eaten is not a true statement, because we came up with a case when you shechted the mother. But Tana didon, our Tana that didn't go back with this, back and forth, including the ben shmoina, mina da amel loy parach. He says the fact that a ben shmoina could be eaten because you shecht the mother doesn't mean that it's effective slaughter. Says Rabbi Chanan, beautiful vart, going back to what we just said a minute ago. What is the machloikis between the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa? The Tana Braisa wants to say that the ben shmoina is considered something that does have a kosher shechita when it's a ben pekua. And our Tana doesn't consider that an argument. Says the Alta Shaila. What does the shechita ben pekua accomplish? The Tana, the Braisa, says that the shechita ben pekua accomplishes that the ben pekua was slaughtered. So we see that ben shmoina is subject to shechita. Our Tana, on the other hand, holds that ben pekua pshat is that it doesn't need shechita. So you don't have a case that ben shmoina has shechita. But now, ask the Gemara, well, hi Tana, the part of the tray for the shechita, sir, mitarosa, now that we've made this argument, that the fact that you come from a min that has shechita doesn't necessarily prove that the shechita should be effective. In other words, the argument, the logic that went back and forth in our Mishnah, has been refuted because of Ben Shmoina. So now we're back to our original kasha. Minole, how do we know indeed the halach is that you shech the treifa, it becomes tar? Answer the Gemara, nafkalim with Yehuda Amarav. Dom Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Vamalei b'masnisatana, Amakra, the pasuk says, v'chiyama min behema, mixes behema, metama. There are times that a dead animal is metama, or mixes tam, and metama. Veiz a zoo, so treifa sheshachta. A treifa sheshachta, even though you're not allowed to eat it, doesn't give off tumas nevela. The Ramban here makes the same point that he made in the previous shiur that we discussed. This braisa that we just quoted is the continuation of the braisa that this piece of Gemara began with. So the Tana obviously knew the braisa, so what's the kasha back and forth? So he says, two terutzim. One terutz is that either he had a version of the braisa that did not have this conclusion, or, and this is very much the way they learned Torah Shebal Peh. So everything they learned was by memory, and they only remember the first part, not the second part. Continues the Gemara. Barav Oishir. Hoshit es yod lemei behema. Somebody puts his hands into the womb of an animal, v'shochet ben teschai. And he shechs an animal that came to full term. And before we go further, we have to say what we're going to learn in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amid. Till now, Dafayin Dalad of this parak, we've been learning a heter, a ben pekuah. That the Torah Kedosha tells us, as we've been learning, a ben pekuah may be eaten. Rameyer, as we're going to learn soon, is of the opinion that there's a time you don't have the heter ben pekuah. When is that? When the animal, when the fetus is full term alive, even if you shech the mother and you find this full term fetus, you can't rely on the shechita of the mother. You have to do a separate shechita on the bentes. So now, that's we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. So now the Gemara begins with the following question. You put your hand into the animal's womb, and you slaughtered that bentes. So says the Gemara, Tabayla Rameya. The question is according to Rameya. Because at Kanle Kam Rameya, you know where Rameya said, Ben Bekur Tan Shchita, that Ben Bekur requires its own Shchita, Hani Mili Hechdi Yatzal Avir Oilam, only when it was already born, Avil B'mei Imai, while it's still in its mother's womb, L'shar L'shchita, the Shchita will not be an effective Shchita. Aydama, or perhaps, Afilu Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan, who are of the opinion that the Heter Ben Bekur is general Heter, and even if the uber that you find in its mother's womb is full-term live, the shechita of the mother works for it. Perhaps the Torah said that there's an option. You could either shech the mother, you could shech the child. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, if Rameyer, this is the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, if Rameyer who says this uber, whose ben teschai, requires its own shechita, yet the halacha will be that you could shecht it when you stick your hand into the mother's womb, and the Rishonim also are bothered with the issue of chalada, but we're not going to learn hilchos shechita again, then certainly, according to Rabbanon, where the shechita of the mother would be effective for it, then doing the shechita for the child would certainly be good, because you maybe don't even have to do a shechita. Or, is a shechita when you put your hands into the mother's womb ineffective? The Amr of Nechananya, Toshima, Haresha Nolda Treifa Min HaBetin. Let's again go back to the Mishnah, and we have to hold cup. In the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that the difference between a treifa and a kosher animal is that a treifa, a non-kosher animal, would a treifa hoysla shas ha-kosher. Treifa, before it became a treifa, was shechtable. A non-kosher animal was never shechtable. To which the Mishnah responded, and what are you going to say when there was born a treifa? So it was never shechtable. Now let's bring everything together. If we're going to learn now that an animal, you could put your hand into the mother's womb and shecht it, so yes, it was born a treifa. That doesn't mean it didn't have a shasa kosher. It had a shasa kosher before you put your hands into the animal's, before it was born, where you could put your hands into the animal's womb. So why does the Mishnah make a statement that an animal born a treifa is considered an animal that didn't have a shasa kosher, we have a scenario where you did have a shasa kosher, where you put your hands into the animal's womb prior to the birth. The fact that the Mishnah didn't make that counter argument is clearly an indication that shechting something while it's in its mother's womb is not an acceptable shechita. Otherwise, the Mishnah could not have made a blanket statement that an animal born a treifa didn't have a shasa kosher. Toshma, hareish nol treifa min abetin. That's an example that never had a shasa kosher. Vim isha, if we're saying that you can't put your hand into the animal's womb and shech the uber mishkachslo the hoysla shasa kosher the bar yod al yod v'shachta. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava. There's a case that even if we'll hold that you put your hands into the animal's womb, the shechita will be good shechita, that it was still a treifa, for sure. Why? Tana shenoytz a treifa in a beten, when it was created as a treifa. What does that mean? Mishkach slav baals hayraglayim. The animal had five legs, so there never had a shasa kosher, even if you could do shechita in the mother's womb, but we learned, daf nun ches, that an animal that has an extra limb, koyeser kenotl domi, if it has an extra limb, it's like a missing limb, and therefore, that never had a shasa kosher. But the fact that there is no proof to the question that we're asking. The Mefarshim make a number of interesting observations. One is they say, going back to Gemara and Daf Nun Ches, that when we speak about an animal having an extra leg that's considered a treifa, it's only if it's one of the hind legs, not one of the front legs. An extra front leg is a balmum, not a treifa. And then the Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara give an example that has an extra leg? Why doesn't the Gemara give an example that it's missing a leg? An animal missing a leg, which is going to be the subject actually in Mitzvah Shem of the next perek, is also considered a treifa. So why don't we give that example? So I saw two terutzim, both very nice terutzim. One terutz that the Rambam holds that the only time a missing leg is an issue is if it had the leg and it was removed. If an animal was born with a missing leg, it's not a treifa. So that's why the Gemara couldn't say that terutz. It's one pshat. Another pshat is like this. What's the case here? We have the animal born, and we're looking for a case that it never had a shasa kosher. So if it has an extra leg, we can know for sure that it never had a shasa kosher, because you can't paste on a leg. It was born with a leg. And it was born with an extra leg, it's a treifa. If it's missing a leg, we can't know for sure that it didn't have a shasa kosher. Maybe it had the leg and it fell off. So we want to give a very powerful, pure case where nobody could argue that it didn't have a shasa kosher. The only true example is that it has an extra leg. Says the Mishnah, and this is the case that we just mentioned. Hashachas behemo, or matzah ben shmoyne chai. If you shecht an animal and you find a live 8-month-old fetus, or mace, or dead 8-month-old fetus, or ben tisha mace, kairai or moitzi estama, you just take out the uber, or moitzi estama, you're not allowed to eat the blood, but you could eat the uber. That's the din ben pakua. It's important to point out, why is the blood different than everything else? We're going to learn that the chaylev of a ben pekua is mutter. Why is the blood different? So Rashi says pshat is because we're going to learn that there's a pasuk that seems to indicate so. Another pshat that I saw is because when the Torah said that you're allowed to eat ben pekua, it only meant you're allowed to eat meat. Blood is not meat, it's mashka. There's no heter for liquid. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the blood of the fetus and the blood of the mother mix. So it isn't pure ben pekua. And a fourth pshat that I saw is that we find that there are times where the Torah is lenient with chaylev. Chaylev of a chay is not osur. Not all chaylev, even in a behemah, is osur. But we never find a dispensation for dam. The Torah is very strict about dam. And therefore, even though we're being so lenient about a ben pekua, we're not lenient when it comes to its dam. But now Rav Meir says his din, ben tishachai, if the fetus that you found in the mother's womb was a full-term fetus, ton shechita. You can't rely on the shechita of the mother. Up to the point, that's considered a completely separate animal, and as we're going to learn in the next parak, the Torah says, oisiv es benoy lo sishkatu b'yay mechad, you can't check the mother and his child on the same day. These are considered two separate animals. Divrei Rav Meir. Cham maimrim, cham hol, that the heter ben pekua is under all circumstances. Shechitas imay matarasoi, it's effective in all situations. Rav Shimon Shizur Eimer, Afil ben chamesh shanim. Rav Shimon Shadur, he says, a ben pekua, you can have a 5-year-old animal that's ben pekua, v'chayrish besada, v'chita sima mitarasai. It's a live animal working in the field, and you could, the shchita, the heter ben pekua applies. Mefarshim point out, why does Shimon Shadur speak about a 5-year-old? To teach us that a 5-year-old animal is when animals start plowing, when they're 5 years old. What does that mean? Let's say I sold you an animal, and it's a 5-year-old that's unable to plow, you could claim it's a mekechtos. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between the opinion of Shimon Shadur and the Tanakama? Says the Mishnah one more din. Kara motzah by ben tes chai. If you didn't shech the mother, and you find a full-term baby, ton shchita. Then the baby, everybody will agree, even the Chachama will agree, requires shchita, because you don't have the shchita of the mother to rely on. What's the chiddush of the stin? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that we would think that maybe the heter ben pekua applies even if the mother wasn't slaughtered. Teaches us the Mishnah that the heter only applies when the mother was slaughtered. One pshat. Another pshat is that we would think that this animal, that koroi, that was opened up, then the uber has no heter. You don't have the shchita of the mother to rely on because the mother wasn't slaughtered. And it can't have its own shchita either because it's a ben pekua and you should never be allowed to eat it. Teaches us the Mishnah that you could do shchita. There's a beautiful vart, not negated directly to the Gemara, but a beautiful vart from the Mefarshim on a difficult medrash. The Torah, when it speaks about the children of the Shvatim, says, Ubnei Don Chushim. Pasuk in the Torah. The medrash says, the Medrash of Rameya had a different wording of this pasuk. Not Ubnei Don Chushim, Uben Don Chushim. That's Pshat in the Medrash. So I saw a beautiful Pshat. What does Rameya teach us in our Mishnah? Rameya teaches us in our Mishnah that you have a full-term fetus in its mother's womb. It's considered already separate. And therefore the heter ben pekua doesn't apply. We all remember that when Yaakov and his family arrived in Mitzrayim, the Torah says there were 70 people. But there weren't 70. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says that Yocheved was born in the last minute. So according to Rameya, but she was born already in Mitzrayim. But according to Rameya, it's not a problem. Because Yocheved was already full term. And according to Rameya, you don't have a full-term baby is already considered a separate entity. That's why you can't rely on ben pekua. The Chachamim disagree with Rameya. And until you're actually born, even though it's full-term already, you're not considered born. So they can't consider Yocheved as one of the 70 people that came into Mitzrayim. So Rameya says, Uben Don. Don only needed one son, Chushim. Because you can rely on Yocheved for your count. The Chachamim can't rely on Yocheved because she's still in her mother's womb. So they say Bnei Don, Chush with 2 children, and that's how you get to the count of 70. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Raishia, when we speak about this fetus in its mother's womb not requiring Shchita, the Heter Ben Pekua, L'Hachava Ela Eska Shchita B'Vad, that's only as far as Hilcha Shchita concerned. Says the Gemara, Lemutimai. What is Rabbi Elazar trying to say? Lemuti chelba v'gidoi. Which chel of gid? That this halacha won't apply to the chel of gid. Lemuti chelba v'gidoi demai. Ilay mechelba the shlil to tell us that the chel of this uber may not be eaten. Ask the Gemara Mifla Pligi. That's actually a subject of a machloikis. The Tanya. Gira noshoi noid b'shlil. Even though you're allowed to eat this fetus without shchita, the ben pekua, you may not eat its giranosha, like you're not allowed to eat the giranosha of any animal, the chalba yosai, nor may you eat the chalif. Divrei remeyer. Yehuda Omer, en enoig b'shlil, the chalba mutter, that there's no problem with giranosha, and you may eat the chalif. So that can't be what it's talking about. Vama, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yishya. And Rabbi Elazar explained the Mishnah. explains this statement, this braisa, machloikis for ben taschai. But where do we have this machloikis? The case that I just spoke about, where the fetus is a full-term fetus. They're both following their opinion. Rameyah says that since it's a full-term fetus, the heter ben pekul doesn't apply. And since the heter ben pekul doesn't apply, all the halachas of an animal apply. You have to shecht it. You're not allowed to get a nasha. You're not allowed to chalif. Rav Yehuda holds like the Chachamim v'am Mishnah that even though it's a full-term fetus, it's still in the heter ben pekul. So if it's still in the heter ben pekul, so that you're allowed to eat it without shechita, and you are allowed to eat the chalev, and you are allowed to eat the granasha. So we're back to where we started. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Moshe mean? Says the Gemara, Ella chelboy the gid. It's referring to the chalev of every gid. Niflik Pollock. What is the halacha about the chalev of a gid? We all know that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the granasha. The question is, what about the chalev around the Gidanasha? Says the Gemara, that also is an old machloikis. The Tanya, Gidanasha, we're going to learn later in the Masechta. What is the halacha when it comes to removing the Gidanasha? Mechatet akra b'kol makayim shuhu. We have to completely remove it. V'chaytet shami mikara, any fat connected to the Gidanasha must be removed. Divir emeya. Rav Yehuda megayim ha-shefet, just cut it off. So again, that's not what they could be arguing about. Eli at mahochitma. Amr v'laza amr v'ayishya. Lo'hoch ba'ela eskel chila b'vad. That even though the Rabbanan hold that you're allowed to eat this ben pekua, all of the ben pekua, even the chaylev, even the granasha, it still is considered an independent animal to one degree. L'merita roivay v'charishbay. That we know that halach is you're not allowed to crossbreed animals. We also know that you're not allowed to plow with two different species, klayim, that then applies even ben pekul. Continues the Gemara. Arab Shim ben Lakish, the divrei amata b'chelbay, the opinion that says you're allowed to eat the chelv of a ben pekul, mata b'domay, will allow you to eat the dam of the ben pekul as well. But Divra Isa Bechelboy, he holds, Rish Lakish holds, that the opinion that holds that you're not allowed to eat the chelev of the ben pekua, Isa Bedomai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, as we learned in the Mishnah, Afla Divra Amat Bechelboy, even if we're saying that the chelev of a ben pekua is mutter, Isa Bedomai, the dam is osir, as we explained the reason why we should, in the Mishnah, the reason why we should differentiate between dam and chelev. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Ben Lakish, Kairai, Umaitzias Domai, so our Mishnah clearly taught us that you're not allowed to eat the dam of the ben pekua. So how could there be opinion that suggests that you're allowed to? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Zeira, Loi Mishenk Anish Karas. It wasn't that he meant to say that you're allowed to eat the dam of the ben pekua. What he meant to say was that there is no Chiyiv Karas for eat it. Before I go further, when we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn Hilchas Dam, we'll learn that there are three categories of dam. There's dam ha-nefesh, which we spoke about a lot of times when we learned Masechta Zvachim. That's the dam that spurts out when you kill an animal. There's dam ha-tamtzis, that's the dam that comes afterwards. And there's dam ha-evarim, dam that are in the avrim of an animal. Everybody agrees that when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat blood, the dam ha-nefesh is included. Machloik is tanom if the dam ha-tamtzis is included. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the dam of tamtzis is included as well. Laman kamrelei. So ask the Gemara. We're saying that the dam of a ben pekua is asur. Now, as we identified earlier on this omit, who are the chachamim of our Mishnah? Who are the chachamim of our Mishnah that say that all ben pekuas can be eaten? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's demand to omit, ask the Gemara, that is machmer by a dam of tamtzis. The Tanya, as we're going to learn in Masechta Krisis, Dama Tamtzis Bazar, the Tana Kama holds that the Dama Tamtzis is only alive, Rav Yehuda Omer Bekaris. So the Gemara's question is, that why is the Dama Tamtzis, why is the Dam only alive, it should be Chiv Karis, answers the Gemara, Tegmar Rav Yosef Reder of Salach, Chassidah Kamed Rav Papa, Islay Rav Yehuda, Dam, the kol dam. Yes, Reb Yehuda is of the opinion that to be chayiv for dam, chorus, yechayiv even by dam atamtzis. But when is that applicable? Kol heichi, the mechayiv adam nefesh, mechayiv adam atamtzis. If yechayiv for the dam nefesh, you'll be chayiv for the dam atamtzis as well. However, here there's no dam nefesh. Why is there no dam nefesh by Ben Bekuah? Because dam nefesh comes out by the shechita, and the shechita is not on the Ben Bekuah, the shechita is on the mother. Kol heicha, the lemechayiv adam atamtzis, lemechayiv adam atamtzis. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who's normally very machmer in Hilchas Dam, will say here it's not considered dam atamtzis, and you won't be chayiv koros, only a laugh. Ask the Gemara. Iboilu, ma'al lift us with Ben Bekuah. While be the halacha, can you be paida an animal? We know. Let's just review. The Torah says, "V'chopetach hamotiv tebaseh v'loy sifta v'raftoi." The Torah teaches us that the firstborn of a donkey, even though a donkey is obviously a non-kosher animal, does have a chiyuv, some sort of a chiyuv. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem HaMasech B'chayrus, the halacha is as follows. If we want to be paid it, the chamor, with any item, it has to be equal in value. But the Torah says, a special rule, tifta b'seh. What does the Torah mean to teach us with tifta b'seh? That even if the seh is not equal in value to the chamor, it's a valid pinyon. So now the Gemara begins to ask the following question. We have a seh which is a ben pekuah. Can you do pidyon aben with that seh? Ask the Gemara. By Lumal liftus aben pekuah. Says the Gemara. Alibet Ramei loy tebalach. Ramei who said in our Mishnah, the kivin the amaton shchita, that a ben tes chai is a separate animal and requires its own shchita, semal yehu. So of course the pidyon is valid. Kita by loch. The question is alibet Rabbonin. The Rabbonin say that even if it's a ben tes chai, shchitas imay matarosoi. So now the Gemara poses its question. Mai, kiven da'am rishchitas ima metarosoi, kibosu b'dukluhu, it's not considered a regular animal, it's just like meat in a basket, and you only could use a live seh. Adilma, kiven da'rot v'ozl, rot v'ozl, you see a regular animal running in front of you, seh karinam bay, and you could do a pidyon with it. Says the Gemara, mazut rama ain't poidin, you can't be poidin with a seh that's a ben pekuah, Rav Ashi Amar, pardon you may. Amar Rav Ashi Lamazutra, my datach, what is the basis for your strict approach? The Gamrit says semipsochim. Because you want to learn the halacha opinion of Ben from Karban Pesach. And the halacha is, this way Rashi learns, we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat, that a Pesach, any Karban that's born not naturally, the usual case is a Yotze Doifen Cesarean, cannot be brought as a carbon. And therefore, just like it can't be used as a carbon Pesach, and the Torah uses the word Sebe carbon Pesach, similarly here, that this Ben Bekuah was not born in a normal way, we found it in its mother's womb, the halacha is that it's not considered Seh, and not valid for Pidyon Petach Hamor. So the Gemara, if you want to learn the halacha Pidyon Petach Hamor from carbon Pesach, go all the way. Imal lahalon set zocher tamim ben shana. So if you're going to learn from Karban Pesach, learn all of the halachas. And here too, the halacha by pidyon petach hamor should be zocher tamim ben shana. And it says Gemara tifta riba. Torah by saying the word tifta twice, saying that you don't have to have all of these requirements. Ask the Gemara. E tifta riba. If we're saying the Torah by using the word tifta twice, it's teaching us that you don't have to have all of these rules. So I feel kol milanami. And even if it's born not in a natural way, you could be able to do pidyon petach hamor. And so the Gemara says, mahanilach. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. The Gemara is saying, on one hand, the Torah makes gzeir shovet to carbon pesach. And just like by carbon pesach, the halacha is that it has to be born naturally to be kosher. So too by pidyon petach hamor, it has to be born naturally. That's one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is tifta. All the other halachas that apply by Karban Pesach will not apply by Pidyon Petach Hamor. One more piece of Gemara. Ibarilu, ma'alimnes by Rishi Vishani. We know the halacha is that Tumah always goes down a degree. So if something's a Rishon L'Tuma and it touches something else, the next thing becomes a Sheni L'Tuma. The Gemara's question is how to view the animal and the Uber in it. Are they considered separate entities? And therefore the Tuma of the mother is, if she's a Rishon, the Uber is a Sheni, or they consider one entity. And if the mother's a Rishon, so too will be the Uber. Again, says the Gemara, Yibayilu ma'alimnus by Rishon v'Sheni. Is the Uber considered a separate entity and it'll be Rishon v'Sheni, or is it one entity? Rabbi Yochanan amar by Rishon v'Sheni, Rish Lakish amar eimon by Rishon v'Sheni. Because according to Rish Lakish, Nasik egas ha-mishkash v'klib ha-asai. Valalacha, if he says, if you have a nut in a shell, it's not two separate entities. The bempeku and its mother is like the nut in its shell. Eisei Rish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan, we're going, the Mishnah said, Habas magnavela, that the aver, going back to the beginning of the shiur, that sticks out from the bempekua is a nevela. The chamaimrim maga trefa shlut, it's considered a trefa. Says the Gemara, bishlam ladidi says Rishlokish Rabbi Yochanan. According to my opinion, the minachad gufahu, that the bempekua and its mother considered one guf. Haina, the question is, how does that aver ever become tame? We know that food, it's treifa. It has to be, it's food. Treifa is tumas oichlin. Tumas oichlin has to have heksha. Diskasha b'dama dimah. It became, because it's one entity with its mother, so when the blood came out from its mother, it also made it moksha, even if the blood never touched it. El lidach b'mayis kasher. You can't rely on the mother's heksha. It has nothing to do. Amalei b'shchita. Ukrav Shimon, because Rav Shimon says, chiba shchita machshartoi, the actual shchita makes it moksha. Ask the Gemara, on the other hand, Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, it says in the Braisa, Ovir Benor Huksha. Holcha Beis Akvaros Nitma. First it had to get wet, and then it gets tummy. So Bishlam Ludid Amina Trey Gufininu, says Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Bishlam Hoche Huksha In Loi Huksha Loi. It has to have its own independent Hechsher. El Ludach Damit Chad Gufuhu, why does it have to have its own Hechsher that it went through the river? Why can't it rely on its mother's shchita? Answers the Gemara, v'shchita yeveshta. We're talking about a shchita where no blood got expelled, with the like of Shimon that holds that the shchita is machshir even without blood. So here, this never had hechshir, only because it went through the river was it mokshir.